Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the CHGO Bears podcast on this snowy Friday in Chicago. All of a sudden we are officially into second winter, even though it's supposed to be spring, but that's what Chicago does. We have a very special show for you today, and we don't want to waste any time, so I'm gonna do the quickest intro we've ever done. Welcome in. This is the CHGO Bears podcast. Adam Hoke, Mark Carmen, Nicholas Moriano with you today on this Friday. We got a couple very special guests on the show today. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button as we finish what's been a big week for the Bears and also us here at CHGO. And we end it with Mina Kimes from ESPN and NFL Live. Thank you so much, Mina, for jumping on with us today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I saw that you said the national perspective. So now I feel pressure to represent the nation.
Well, it's been a very divisive offseason here in Chicago. This week has felt very, very different, but we do like to get the national perspective at times. And I guess my first question to you, Mina, is just what do you like or dislike about what the Bears have done this offseason? And do you have, I guess, a favorite move that they've made?
There's lots of like. Talked about this a little bit on my show. By the way, if you guys are listening, check it out. The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. You can subscribe on YouTube as well. A lot of Bears talk these days. Going to be a lot of Bears talk leading up to the draft. But yeah, I guess we could start with the offense, really. You know, just the situation that they're putting Caleb Williams in, I think is excellent. I thought a number of the additions they've made are great, starting with the hire of Shane Waldron, who we can talk about. You know, obviously, know pretty well being the offensive coordinator in Seattle. I think the weapons that they've acquired make sense with his offense, ranging from like a, you know, signing that got like a little bit less attention, like Gerald Everett at tight end, allowing him to run more multiple tight end sets. I think Keenan Allen, and this is something I've been very opinionated about, is such an amazing addition for a rookie quarterback, and in particular, this rookie quarterback. So I really like those additions. Thought the Swift signing was rich financially, but the player I really like, and I like what he does for that running back room.
So, Mina, let's go back to Justin here. And I'm wondering if you think the NFL got it wrong, because clearly the Bears were going to move on. He's traded for a sixth-round pick in 2025 that can turn into a fourth. A lot of teams went after quarterbacks this year, and the best he could find was to back up Russ in Pittsburgh. Do you think the NFL is missing something on Justin, or they got it right?
I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, where I think a lot of us in the media, I would include myself in this group, and I think a lot of Bears fans too, were probably a little too high on Fields, certainly relative to how he's perceived around the NFL. But I also think that the idea that he's worth less than some of these other backup quarterbacks who have changed spots, and also, you know, previous starters like Sam Howell going to Seattle, Desmond Ridder going to Arizona. I would rather have Justin Fields than either of those players, for example, right? So the fact that we'll see if that six turns into a fourth, and then obviously the value, you're looking at a different thing. And of course the finances affect that, with teams being not interested in picking up his fifth year option. But to me, he has flashed enough, and obviously some pretty difficult circumstances at times in Chicago. I would rather take a flyer on him. So to see him valued below some of those players, I do think was incorrect.
Mina, we have a question from one of our listeners here at CHGO, and they wanted to ask you, given what the Bears have done this offseason, what they could do in the draft, what would constitute a successful 2024 season?
Caleb Williams has to look like the guy. That's it. I mean, it would be, you know, obviously this is a defense that's that improved pretty dramatically last year, finished as arguably the best run defense in the NFL. We'll see what they can do in terms of improving coverage and getting after the quarterback. So, you know, coming off of that, I can understand why fans would be talking playoffs. Are we a wild card team? Is Matty Eberflus on the hot seat if we don't make it? I get that. But given the way, I mean, everything you've obviously been through as Bears fans with the quarterback position, also just all of the decisions that led to this moment, Williams needs to look like it was worth it. Frankly, that's success. Much more so than making the postseason. You want the young quarterback to look like he was the right choice.
All right, Mina, dump your Seattle knowledge on us here for a second.
Yeah.
You mentioned Shane Waldron. It's been an interesting time trying to break down that hire because we had Gerald Everett last week rave about Shane Waldron. We've definitely heard a lot of that. We also had a very viral moment at the Super Bowl with Jaxon Smith-Njigba when that was us, where he paused for it seemed like forever. And we didn't even really know how to handle it in the moment. Obviously he has his feelings about former offense coordinator, Seahawks, now the Bears. So we've been trying to figure out exactly what the Bears got here. What do you want to share about Shane Waldron and what you think the Bears got?
I think he's a good coach. I did see the JSN clip and, JSN being the first receiver taken, coming into an offense where he was immediately the number three. I have to think that probably factored into usage. Probably you guys know how receivers are.
Oh, yeah.
Throw me the ball, right? I get it. And look, that's why what makes a receiver great is that confidence. I would be disappointed if he didn't think he shouldn't have gotten more targets because that signals he has the right mentality. So putting that aside, Waldron, I think there's a lot to like. There's some similarities to Sean McVay's offense, which itself has evolved over the years. And that's the tree that he comes from with the Rams, but they also did certain things differently in Seattle. One of the things I alluded to, you know, the use of tight ends was really a hallmark of his offense over the last 2 years, not just 12, but 13 personnel, which, we can talk about the Bears pick at 10. I mean, I think the first place where where I put Brock Bowers ? There's other needs. I get maybe that's not the pick. Value weighs into it, but man, Shane Waldron would love having Brock Bowers, Cole Kmet, and Gerald Everett, and you would see those players on the field a lot. He's very creative with his use of formations. A lot of really unconventional looks you will see, which he used to great effect to get one-on-ones, get leverage for his playmakers. I think in the run game, you know, it's typically associated with that sort of wide zone run game, but which is a good fit, I think, by the way, for the Bears and the players that you do have. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see that continue evolving as well.
So I want to get away from football for just one quick left turn. And, you know, we've gotten a ton of flack on this show because we've talked about Justin and there's some diehard Bears fans who just are very in their feelings on it. And we get it. And I'm just thinking about you doing your job as well as you know football in this space, being a woman, some people just loving you just because they love you, and some people just coming at you, you know nothing. I'm just curious, like, how have you, like, built the muscles to handle everything that comes with being on the platform that you've created for yourself?
It's just not about you, I think, is usually if someone's mad. For example, if I'm positive about the Bears, every Bears fan in this would be like, she's the best, really knows her shit, right? And then if I was to say something negative, I remember, frankly, not to, like, I'm keeping score, but when I was very negative about Mitch Trubisky, candidly, as an analyst, I didn't think he was the guy, I didn't like him as a prospect, whatever. And Bears fans hated me for a couple of years. And it has nothing to do with who you are. It really is just whether fans feel good about the way you're talking about their team. So that's how I feel.
We needed that advice, like, 3 weeks ago, I think, but that's a really well said. Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, Mina, with if Caleb Williams is the guy that I think a lot of people expect him to be, can the Bears realistically compete in this NFC North? Not just actually compete, but actually be right up there with Detroit, Green Bay, and whatever happens with Minnesota. But can they?
I think it's a good question because, well, I guess there's some nuance there. If it's year one, I think it's going to be a little bit challenging. Year two, absolutely, especially the way this defense has gone, arguably could be the best defense in the division next season. you know, Green Bay is kind of the consistent underperformer on that side of the ball. Although I did like some of the additions they made in free agency, to be honest, and that they finally made a coaching change, I think was pretty significant. And the Lions also fantastic run defense, actually similar to the Bears, struggled a little bit in coverage. For me with Williams, it's, you know, after seeing what CJ Stroud did and really Jordan Love in his rookie season, I understand the temptation to say, well, we want Williams, who's the number one pick, to come in and play at that level immediately. But, you know, I would say, again, that's not really the goal year one. I'm very high on him as a prospect. He is my number one and has been from the beginning. I know there's some of my colleagues, in fact, have been putting other quarterbacks in the mix there. But I would urge patience.
Yeah, I mean, let's get into Caleb a little bit then. What are you so excited about with him? We're certainly excited in Chicago, and yeah, we've been watching this for a while now because we could kind of see where things were headed with Justin. But why are you so high on Caleb Williams?
There's a lot to like, and I'll start by saying this. I liked him more after going back and watching the tape. Because, you know, I watched him obviously over the course of his career, like everyone else, USC, big games here and there. You see the highlights, amazing. But, you know, I think during the season, before I really get into watching these prospects, I was very, I wouldn't say suspicious, but I think I was kind of put off by his unwillingness to play in structure, some of the hero ball. I don't know, this is a little bit worrying, especially I imagine Bears fans too. You're probably a little bit traumatized when you hear a long time to throw after what you've watched the last few years. But then when you watch Williams, the first thing I thought, there's two things that really jump out. Oh my God, USC was bad. And we know the defense is bad. Everybody knows that. But I think I didn't really appreciate the level of adversity he was facing on offense in terms of pass protection, drops. Sometimes conceptually, I didn't quite understand what they were doing. So a lot of the hero ball was not, it was born of necessity, shall we say that. And then the other thing, which by the way, is a very stark contrast from Fields, who played in a relative paradise in college. And I think had the reverse happen when he came to the NFL, I think you're going to see the opposite with Williams, where he's actually going into a, from a relative perspective, better situation in Chicago, which is huge, right? Because you've seen him overcome adversity, and now I think he's going to face less, candidly. And then on top of that, I think the other thing that really jumped out to me was, yes, at times you're like, throw the ball, like play in structure. But when he does, it looks great. He can make all of the routine throws, short, intermediate, deep. He throws with touch. He throws with accuracy. He sets up his receivers to get yards after the catch. He throws to all parts of the field. He throws to the middle of the field. So for me, it's really just a question of willingness more than ability.
I heard Super Bowl. I don't know what you guys heard, but that's where I got to. Hey, last one for me real quick, Mina. Did the Bears make the right decision keeping Matt Eberflus as their head coach? There's a lot of talent out there. I know it's putting you on the spot, but I know.
This is the most, I'm much more conflicted about this than the field stuff, honestly, because I really thought they would move on. And I think just the defense played so well at the end, it was hard. And I think with a young quarterback too, you get nervous about not having an offensive-minded coach, because if Waldron crushes it with Williams, he is going to be a head coach candidate last year. But you could have said the same thing about D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick, who stays with CJ Stroud for another year. I kind of wish they had considered, frankly, some of the, because there were just so many incredible candidates out there, but I don't think it was like a total, because of what this defense did and how much better they played and how well coached they look, frankly, I understand why they gave Eberflus a second shot. Plus, have you seen him in the offseason? The hair? Oh my God.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
Well, before we let you go, Mina, we really appreciate it. Our next guest is Carmi V, and we wanted to bring in here to say
girl,
hi to you.
What's up?
Hi, Mina. Hi, guys. I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Man. Best.
Yeah, well, we're transitioning here, but Mina, thank you so much for jumping on. We really appreciate it today.
Thanks for having me. You guys upgraded bringing in Carmi. So.
God, stop it, Mina. Say hi to Lenny, please. Give him some cuts for me.
I will. Take care. Bye, guys.
All right. That's a smooth transition. I like it. Carmi V now on the show. And of course, should mention Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Lenny is her dog.
Yes.
Apparently, Carmi, you've got to meet Lenny.
Actually, So I've met him over the screen. Okay. I've never actually met him in person, but he always seems to come in. Whenever I've done Mina's show, Lenny always seems to force his way into the room. And I take that as a sign to me that he loves me already. And we're working on a full-on meet with my dog and his dog. It'd be great.
That's awesome.
I like it. Also, NFL Live, of course, which is pretty much a must-watch show these days. To keep up is where you find me in the time. So we're gonna talk to Carmi V here, but real quick, we gotta thank our sponsors. And obviously, we're seeing a lot of change here with the Bears, especially over the last couple of weeks, right? Well, sometimes things need to change. One thing that doesn't—that's the great taste, the Miller Lite, the original light beer. To this day, still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want, less of the stuff you don't. You know, we love Miller Lite on this show. There's some Miller Lights going around yesterday when we were at Circus Sports in Waukegan. They had plenty of buckets of Miller Lite. That's because Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need, holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. Less filling and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. No matter how your team changes, you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/CHGOFootball. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Check out Miller Lite. And then you got to check out CD1 Price Cleaners. They have low prices. Customers save over 30% on their dry cleaning bill by switching to CD1 Price Cleaners. And simple, transparent service. Other cleaners charge a different price for each garment type. Plus, they have upcharges, and you may pay a different price each time you visit at CD1 Price Cleaners. They charge one low price for any garment, and that's even including sports jerseys, the same low price. They got that quick turnaround. CD1 Price Cleaners has your order ready the same or next day. Other cleaners take 2 to 4 days to have your clean garments ready, and you get those text alerts. Everyone's on their phones nowadays, and CD1 Price Cleaners sends you a text when your order is ready for pickup. And they also have a wide variety of services. You got the dry cleaning, wash and fold, laundry, blankets and comforters, tailoring and alterations, leather cleaning, area rug cleaning. They got it all. But first, you got to visit chgo.cd1.com. The link is also in the description below. Once there, you can pick from an in-store coupon or online pickup and delivery coupon options.
All right. Well, Carmi, I really want to ask you how you're doing, but I think I need to ask Mark Harmon first. Are you hanging in there right now? It's got to be pretty stressful. The Northwestern, they're down 2 here with a couple minutes left in the game. He's got to be struggling.
First of all, I'm getting yelled at by Kevin Kadok on tech. Stop looking at the game. I was trying to not do that. So let's make it obvious. I have it like just positioned slightly to the left. So apparently, as the 8-point lead blowing meltdown, now down 2 with FAU having the ball, I hate it. I despise it. I was so enjoying this and now, but hey, listen, we got Carmi here. Mina's on the show. There's more important things in life.
I thought I was being realistic with Northwestern. Like, I had them winning this game and I think losing next round. And I was like, okay, that's realistic to me.
That's usually what they do.
That is realistic. And
right. And now they're like, they're going to be like, well, F you, you just.
No, FAU. Yeah, no,
wow.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I apologize.
They called a complete BS. There wasn't even a foul call, but somehow they went back and reviewed it and called a flagrant foul. I hate NCAA officials. 2 shots and the ball after the Cats had it. Just an absolute complete mess of a bullshit. All right, but let's go back to football. I mean, how does that happen?
Okay, so that was a long way of answering my question. Is no, Karma's not.
I'm not
doing
well
okay
at
right
all.
Now. He's not.
Karma's
he's not
doing well.
Right. Carmi, yeah. Please save us. Thank you again to Mina Kimes for coming on. But
she's the absolute best.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the big trade went down last week. What'd you think about what the Bears did, not only with Justin, but some of the other moves they made, presumably to bolster the offense for Caleb Williams?
I really appreciate having a veteran 1-2 punch at wide receiver now between DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. I think that this was signaling the ushering of a new era when it comes to under center. And this is going to be a great setup for a young quarterback. Ryan Poles has done a wonderful job with that. It's a great landing spot to develop a guy. I think I tweeted it out where I was like, I think this is the first time in my lifetime the Bears, at least on paper, look to be actually set up to develop a quarterback. And I hope that it happens. But I know a lot of people were talking about, well, if Justin would have had all of this help in the beginning, things would have been different. Yes, they probably would have been different. But Ryan Poles wasn't responsible for the roster that Justin Fields came in to. This is not that was Ryan Pace. So you can't fault Ryan Poles for then setting up the roster the way that he wanted to, knowing that he was probably going to bring in a new quarterback once it was ready. And it makes sense to start the clock over. I've been saying that, you guys know, I've been saying that for months now, where you can't overstate how important that contract clock is when it comes to a quarterback who is the most expensive position on your roster. I feel for Justin Fields, but I think he's gone to a really good situation. And I really commend Ryan Poles for sending him to a place where the door is open for him to potentially win that starting job, if not this year, maybe next, because Russ Wilson is only on a one-year contract. And I really commend him more than that for making sure that Justin was off the roster before the Caleb Circus or whoever it ends up being really gets going here, because you don't want a divided locker room. And Bears have shown us in the Ryan Poles era over and over again that culture is one of the most important pieces in building this roster again. So I appreciate all of that. I think what Ryan Poles did was great. I know the return wasn't awesome for Justin, but you had to get him off the roster if this was your plan, and it clearly was.
So one of the things that I saw you say on I forget which show it was, you were wearing pink. I just know that you were
she's everywhere.
She's everywhere. I mean, she's Carmi V. She's dominating the world. Cats just got screwed again on another call. Thanks a lot, referees. you called it a redshirt year, perhaps, for Justin here, which I thought was interesting, because you're looking at it like, hey, you know, he's not going to – they already said at the start that Russ is going to be the starter, and he'd have to – he's at least going to be sitting for, you know, call it a quarter of the season, if not half, maybe the whole season. So it almost like feels like for you that a redshirt year might do Justin well.
I said that immediately because – this is an opportunity for Justin to go to a really stable organization in the Steelers. They have a really solid culture there. Obviously, Mike Tomlin is a wonderful coach. And Justin can learn and get acclimated to the game and really hone his skills and figure out who he is as a quarterback in the league while not having the pressure of being a starter. And not to mention, Russell Wilson, I get that recency bias will tell us that things have gone awry, and they did in Denver. It didn't go well. But at the same time, last year, Wilson was, top 12 in completion rate. He was top 10 in touchdowns, top 3 in touchdown percentage. He did not have a bad season. And this is a 12-year vet who has won a Super Bowl. This is a really great guy to learn from. So I think it's a really good situation. And again, if Russ plays well, I don't know if the Steelers are going to even be able to hang on to him. And that could catapult Justin into being the future of that Steelers franchise while having this redshirt year to really, again, figure out who he is as a quarterback without having all of the noise and distractions and the pressures of being a starter.
Carmi V, we obviously know that you have a good grasp of the entire NFC North. If you had to look at the offseason up to this point for all four teams, where do the Bears rank in terms of how much better they got this offseason? Would you put them at the top right now?
Nick, you know hope is a hell of a drug, dude. The Bears have had good offseasons under Ryan Poles since he got there. But obviously it hasn't materialized quite yet into what we would hope for the Bears. I really think that, again, it was a solid offseason. We talked about the addition briefly about Keenan Allen. I absolutely love that move, bringing a veteran in to be your wide receiver too. Clearly, they're trying to figure out some experience at center. They have a couple of guys there now, and I don't think that even precludes them from drafting someone. So you're trying to reinforce the lines. I expect them to go after a D-tackle at some point in the draft. So they've gotten better, and they continue to get better in these off seasons. And all the moves they're making are the right ones. Locking up Jalen Johnson, I didn't even talk about that, which is great to have a leader back there, especially when you got rid of Eddie Jackson. But I also think that Detroit had a really good sneak, under the radar off season, and they continue making strength, keeping a strength, basically. I loved the pick of DJ Reader. I was on the NFL on Fox pod when I got the news, and I was like, ah, got really excited over a D tackle that's currently hurt. But I actually got a chance to talk to Lou Anarumo after the trade, the Bengals DC, and he is pissed that they gave up TJ Reader, that they weren't able to re-sign him. Because he knows what he means to the interior of a defensive line that has Aiden, especially now that it has Aiden Hutchinson on one side. He has Aiden Hutchinson on one side. Hopefully Marcus Davenport stays healthy. Detroit had a hell of an offseason, and the Packers went out and spent money, which doesn't ever happen. But they weren't taking a chance with that safety position in a Jeff Hafley defense. That's the key, one of the most important positions for Jeff Hafley to have, and you get a really good veteran who's super versatile, has an amazing skill set, has had amazing production, not only in ball production, but also coming downhill and making those tackles and playing box safety. I mean, Xavier McKinney is a guy that can do it all, and that's what safeties need to do under Jeff Hafley. So I like a lot of these offseasons. We're going to see. I'm reserving judgment on Minnesota right now because I don't know if they're going to be able to trade up and get their dude. It certainly seems like they're going to try. But other than that, I mean, the two top teams in this division have really had good off seasons, and it's going to be hard to play catch up with them, which was my point on Speak To before Bears fans come after me for that.
Hey, let that's the haters. Yeah. Thank you. Let the haters hate. Look, yeah. By the way, if we didn't have enough of a super cut of just if we want to cut Carm trying to do a show while the Northwestern game is going on, we get five more bonus minutes here because the game did go to overtime.
I'm trying to give him time to like react.
I mean,
it looks like you're having a colonoscopy. I mean, the facial expressions are insane.
If we're going to really go into it, there are a few things in life that I care about. Northwestern basketball happens to be one of them on a very irrational level. Like my childhood,
that's a personal problem.
It is. My childhood is on the line literally every time they play. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but it's just, this is the reality of what goes on. And listen, this is the third time ever in the tournament. Now they're up 4 in the OT. Hey, can I ask this question, Hogan? Then you can go real quick.
Go for it.
Look, we've gone through this, Carmi, but the Bears' biggest need is what? Because I mean, I'm going back and forth in my head. Interior offensive line, but then you can't win in the NFL if you only have one guy that can get to the quarterback. That's not going to work. Montez Sweat needs some help. So I'm curious how you come out with it.
Yeah, I tend to think somewhere along the defensive line is the biggest need. Obviously, edge rusher. That's the obvious answer. I think that's like the tired answer is like edge rusher, and then wired answer is a bona fide three tech. Like we still. I know Javon Dexter has gotten a lot better, and it seems that this team completely trusts him, and they drafted him based on traits. And the way that he was able to ascend last season, I have no problem with him being your three tech, but I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to get a guy with experience or to at least bolster that rotation so that it's not all the way up to Javon Dexter, because you need guys that can push the pocket as well as stop the run. That's really important. And if you have guys on the interior that can do that, that makes things easier for the outside guys. That makes things easier for Montez Sweat. He's going to get more one-on-one opportunities, and he's going to win. I'm going to bank on him to win those any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So I think that you can help the pass rush in a couple different ways. One being that interior spot, but then, yeah, I mean, edge rusher, I would love to see them draft a guy too. It's definitely going to come down to that for me. And I think that they'll figure things out on the offensive line as well. But the trenches, man, build through the trenches and good things happen.
Carmi, I'm not asking you to predict the order of finish in the NFC North because it's only March 22nd. But on March 22nd, how would you rank the division?
That's really hard, honestly.
We've climbed out of the basement, damn it. We are ahead of Minnesota. Let's go. Come on.
Depending what they do at quarterback, depending who, if they end up drafting their guy, I think they like Drake May a lot, but it's going to take a lot to get there to be able to draft him.
Did I see that they weren't even at Michigan today?
Yeah, which Quasey wasn't. I don't know if Kevin O'Connell was.
Okay.
But
that surprised me.
Here's the thing. I don't think I would read entirely too much into that. I mean, I know like so much was made out of like Caleb Williams pro day and all that other stuff, but like pro day at the end of the day is it's not even 7-on-7 and it's in shorts. So like, you're not going to prove anything to me at a pro day. other than like your intentions. And I think there's something to be said for the fact that Caleb Williams wanted to throw and show people that he can throw from the pocket, even though there wasn't a pocket because there weren't offensive linemen or defensive linemen trying to get to you. But just the mere fact that he wanted to kind of quell those concerns tells me everything I need to know. But I don't think we should read too much into pro days is the long-winded way of what I'm trying to say. I also think that should Minnesota not be able to get Drake May, I think J.J. McCarthy would be a good fit there just because of the fact that I think he's a project still. I think that he needs some development at the NFL level, but you have a former quarterback and head coach in Kevin O'Connell, and now you have Josh McCown as your quarterback's coach. This is a team that is set up to develop someone from a coaching standpoint. So I think it would be a really great idea for J.J. McCarthy to go to Minnesota, and I don't think that that's a bad backup plan. So when it comes to the picture of the NFC North, I still see the Lions or the Packers winning it. Again, I really like what the Lions did. They didn't just stand pat and say, well, we won the division last year. Let's just bring back the guys and, you know, it's going to be fine. And then the Packers are so young, though, and so productive already. I know no one wants to hear that. It's just it's a system. It's a succession system and a team building strategy that only works in Green Bay, but it works. And they're going to be really a tough out this year. So I think between those guys and then the Bears, I still think the Bears, especially if Caleb Williams comes in and he makes the transition as quickly as I think he can, given he's basically been a pro for the last 3 years as it is. I see the Bears finishing somewhere second, third, maybe having a shot at the wild card. I think it's entirely possible the NFC North has three teams in the playoffs next year, which would include the Bears, and that'd be cool.
What happens if they follow my prediction and Caleb has the greatest season a rookie quarterback's ever had? Then what, Carmi? Then what?
Then I think you could see something like CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans. Again, I still don't know if that spells winning the division, though. And that's okay. Like, we don't need to win the division. The Bears do not need to win the division to show progress and to show promise and for people to get excited about it. I don't want to put the weight of winning one of the toughest divisions in the league on the shoulders of a rookie. I just don't want to do that. Don't just have him show that he can.
I do. Tarm wants to do that.
I do.
It's not fair. It'd be great if it happened. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see that happen for Chicago. Again, I've talked about this so many times. The league is better when the Bears are good. And I love that. But I don't want to put that expectation on there yet. Let's get to a winning season first. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Before we talk winning the division?
Well, I've just followed the trend. 3-7-11. 3 + 4 + 4 is, you know, I mean.
I think that's within the realm of possibilities. Carmi, we always appreciate you coming on the show.
Carmi, we love you. You know,
thank you so much.
Yeah. Always happy to come on, guys. Really appreciate it. As much as I can tell people I don't hate the Bears, let me tell them I don't hate the Bears.
Well, look.
We're a growing fan base. So we hopefully, like, at least 10% of those people have learned that you don't hate the Bears. How's that?
Yeah. Well, my mentions would suggest otherwise. But that's
Is there a fan base in the NFC North that thinks you like their team?
Honestly, I think the Lions do. But the Lions are just overall pretty positive right now.
Yeah, they're in a honeymoon situation.
They're in a honeymoon situation, yeah. But yeah, everybody else thinks I hate them. So I think that means I'm doing my job correctly.
That's right. That's right. All right, Karin, you're always doing your job correctly, and we thank you so much for jumping on today, especially on a Friday. Thank you.
Of course. Bye, guys. Right. Go Cats.
Bye, Carmi. Go Cats.
Go Cats. Now up 9.
There you go, Mark.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's get to Sunday, Hogue. Let's stay perfect in the first round of the NCAA tournament, Nick. Let's defy the odds. Let's miss two starters and still win a game. Okay.
2 minutes since Karin put in the comments, it's time for a commercial. The commercial starts with his read.
right.
Focus like Ryan Langborg right now. He's at the free throw line. He shoots 76.7%. You shoot about 26.7%. But focus right now. Knock this read down for Charlie the Bacon guy.
Ryan Langborg wants Charlie the Bacon Guy to be his friend. And Charlie the Bacon Guy, let's be honest, is everyone's friend. He's based out of Woodridge, Illinois. You're buying local. You're buying, he makes the craft bacon. He makes the bacon jams. He does it in 35 different flavors. He does it naturally cured with preservative-free products. You're eating the good stuff. He vacuum seals it and freezes it perfectly. His bacon lasts in the package up to 60 days in the fridge, 1 week after the seal is broken. Don't break your seal and not eat it all right away. And 9 months in the freezer, the bacon jam lasts 90 days in the fridge, 1 year in the freezer. This is an investment worth making. The Bacon Vault, all the flavors he's made in the past. If it's not currently available, give Charlie about 2 weeks. He's going to make it for you. He's got the merch, by the way, the beanies, the hats, the t-shirts, the stickers, the coffee mugs. Just get yourself going. Starting now, you can save 10% on your order at charliethebaconguy.com. When you use the code CHGO at checkout, you can pick it up, which is the most efficient way for you, or he can deliver it to you, meet you halfway, whatever you want to do. He'll ship it to you. He'll make it work. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home. charliethebaconguy.com on the web, at charliethebaconguy on Instagram. Twitter is at CZTheBaconGuy, or email him, charliethebaconguy@gmail.com. One way or another, get your order in.
Beautifully done there, Mark. Yeah,
you knocked him down like Langborg did. You knocked him down. Good job.
Great job.
I love Charlie. Maple pepper, chorizo, French toast, honey chipotle.
All good. Also good is Prize Picks, you guys, which is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Football season, look, it's over. But the action on the floor is just heating up, whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court. There's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. And conference tournaments are obviously here, which means the biggest moments in college basketball are getting closer. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. I took advantage of the Caitlin Clark free square up on Prize Picks just yesterday. It's an offer that lasts until 2 p.m. on Saturday, so you got to take advantage now. But first, you got to go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use that code CHGO for a first deposit matchup to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO. And remember, use that code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Oh, there it is right there. He let it all out. That was the moment he knew they're winning. We're on a good streak here. I will say, and I'm going to jinx it for my Badgers probably here, but Illinois took care of business for Cody yesterday. Texas took care of business for Joey. Kansas won for Sarah. Now we got Northwestern up 11 with 49 seconds left in overtime. Purdue, look, there's no way they're going to lose to a 16 seed again. I'm definitely not trying to jinx that. Just not going to happen.
Don't worry. He's not. You can
definitely
jinx
not
away.
Jinxing that.
Jinxes don't matter.
Yeah, I know.
Braggs thinks they do.
Braggs thinks they do, so it's fun to pretend that they do. And then it's all going to be on the shoulders of my Badgers tonight to carry CHGO, 8:40 Central, 9:40 Eastern time in Brooklyn. Great job scheduling these games, NCAA. Who doesn't want to play a basketball game at 10 o'clock at night? And then James Madison will pull off the upset to end the night. And then I'll go home, go to bed crying. It's okay.
Nice to lose, I guess.
I mean, look, the tournament's beautiful. I mean, it's a big Friday on the show here, man. Mina Kimes coming on, bringing in Carmi. I mean, this has been a lot of fun. And I think I've done a pretty damn good job maintaining my focus, for the record.
I mean, it was fun watching you, Carm. It was fun watching you go through it.
I mean, if we're being honest, your focus level is the same as it usually is anyway, like a Wednesday. So, I mean, I haven't noticed much of a difference. Braggs in the stands jumping in here, $5 with the super chat. Nice win, suffocating defense. The kid from West Lafayette came up clutch, Big Ten 3-0 so far. Happy for you, Carm. Pray for me. Hashtag boiler up. I am wondering, like, how did Brooks Barnheiser not end up at Purdue? And then I found out today watching the broadcast that his dad played at Purdue. So he's a legacy player, too.
Did you watch the whole game? Because I swear they put his dad up first, and it was the wrong guy. And then they went to a different. They did two Barnheiser dads. I think they got it wrong the first time. And I'm like, You know, I bought it because, you know, I don't know Brooks Barnheiser's dad, but I swear the second guy was different. They had a completely different hairdo. I don't know if anybody else saw that. All right.
Different Barnheiser. I don't know. All right. Let's, I guess we're on to supers here. We knock these out and then close out what's been an awesome week. Thank you, by the way, to everybody that's been following along this week. It's been a huge week, obviously coming off the heels of the Justin Fields trade over the weekend. Then all of our coverage from Los Angeles with Pro Day. And Carmen Braggs did such a good job back at the studio, too, to bring you all that. Our entire team did. Our producers, Kevin Kadick, our head of content, getting everything out that we were able to get out. And if you missed any of it, I mean, you could still check out the super cut of all of Caleb Williams' throws from his Pro Day, too, that we have for you. It's right here on this CHGO YouTube channel. So please hit that like button. Please hit subscribe. And you should also check out our draft party, which is coming up basically a month from now at this point. It's going to be a Caleb Williams celebration, but also then we immediately flip in the number 9 overall pick and what's going to happen there the rest of the night. So you're not going to want to miss it. April 25th. You could also come for day 2, April 26th, presented by Circus Sports in Casa Azul. We're at Joe's on Weed Street. We were there last year, but we've upgraded rooms, so it's going to be even bigger and better. And this thing is trending towards a sellout. So jump on those tickets now. Become a CHGO diehard, because if you're a CHGO diehard, you get 20% off all of our merch and all of our events. So you can apply that to buying your tickets. Talked to a bunch of people that have already bought tables. Saw somebody yesterday at the Circa event in Waukee, and I was like, yeah, I got my table. I'm ready to go. And so get on those tickets now, allchgo.com/events. This is your money line bet you made at the counter yesterday.
Thank you, Circus Sports. You can't bet on your college basketball teams online, but you can in person if you go on out to the American Casino.
Star Place.
American Star Place.
American Place Casino. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Circa. Thank you. Love you, Circa.
I actually did not know that until you found that out yesterday. I was unaware that you could bet.
I didn't know it either.
Some Northwestern and Illinois games in person. So yeah, that's another reason to go out to Circa.
Damn right it is.
I struggle to get this mic situation locked in. Oh, what's going on here? All right.
Deep breaths.
There it goes again. Someone want to read a super chat for me while I get this figured out?
I got you. Nick's got you. We got you. Super chats today. Thank you so much for all the support this week. $2 from Alex Emerly. Everett is a sneaky good pick for us. Look, for Monday's show, I should have done this already, but I'm going to compile all the numbers that Everett put up, that Keenan Allen put up, that DeAndre Swift put up, and combine it with DJ and Cole, and do a reasonable jump from, say, y'all even throw maybe Tyler in there from year 2 to year 3, and let's see where that actually comes out, in when you look at the rest of the NFL last year, and just kind of get a feel for what this Bears offense is capable of if they really start, you know, firing on all cylinders and the quarterback works. One of the things that when I was prepping for today's show, watching Mina's comments, she underlined that, you know, Caleb has this reputation that he loves to run around and be crazy. She's like, he's actually phenomenal on time.
Yeah.
So it you agree with that too. So let me just say, if he really is phenomenal on time with what they have, I am extremely optimistic about what they're capable of, assuming that Shane Waldron knows what he's doing, which according to Mina today, he does. $1.99 from Toxic King Christian. Hi, Mina. Does Lenny think the Bears are a playoff team? Ho, you want to answer for Lenny? Nick, you want to answer for Lenny?
I mean, I don't want to put words in Lenny's mouth. He's a very well-spoken dog. So
he's also a smart dog. So
yeah, Lenny, bark twice if you got the Bears in the Super Bowl.
Lenny's all in. We know you are. You're in, Lenny. Come on, Lenny.
Edward with the R dollars. Is that
what is that R dollars?
I forget. I feel like we went through this before. Is that Rush? I don't know. 20 R dollars. Mina is literally NFL royalty. Having her with you guys on CHGO is like the Avengers assembling. This is my Roman Empire.
I love that, Edward. That's a great super chat.
We got, by the way, shout out to Braggs, because Braggs is the one that booked me.
Yes.
Well, and look, Braggs. You know, Mina is a friendly Mina, and she'll go on any podcast, but it is a little bit of a testament to the show and how far we've come in however long a period of time that we can bring in people like that who are happy to join us. And
I have enjoyed bringing up the JSN interview now to multiple national big time NFL people, and they're like, oh yeah, that was you guys.
That's right. That's right.
Recognition.
Spotify's got us at 45 of all sports podcasts.
43. It moved up to 41 this morning. Come on, pay attention.
Okay, so we went from Jordan, which the jersey should have never won, all the way up to Piccolo. Let's go. We're climbing. I want to let me know when we get to 23. And when we're at 23, I don't need to get to one. I just need
to get to 23. Then
you can retire. Yes, 23. Mm-hmm. That's all we need.
Then you made it. We got BDemps7499. Love CHGO. Which of the first round edge players best fit the Flus defense? Well, I mean, if you can get like a Dallas Turner, Chop Robinson, Garrett Verse, I think all of those guys would fit what he's doing.
I've been in some Dallas Turner tape this week, and I don't know if
I haven't watched him yet.
If I had to guess when we finally get this the next group of our Bears 100 out, I wouldn't be surprised if he falls a little bit. The more I've watched him a little bit, I'm just more concerned about how he's going to fit in this defense. I still think that length and everything he has, I feel like he'll be scheme versatile, but there's just not a lot of examples of him putting his hand on the ground, and he's kind of slight. He doesn't look like this big, massive 4-3 defensive end when you watch the film. And I know like his height and length should be enough if he can bulk up a little bit more, but if you just compare him to Jared Verse is the same height, but has about 20 pounds on him. And there's just more examples of Jared Verse, you know, looking more like a 4-3 hand on the ground defensive end.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So real quickly, when looking at like, let's say we were comparing him like to Will Anderson last year, would we say that Will would have maybe fit what the Bears are doing? I know like he's obviously a guy that he could stand up, but wasn't, they're about the identical size. I'm just kind of looking at the size.
Yeah.
6'4", 243. And then
it's a good question because I remember having the same concerns about Will Anderson last year. And then when you saw his combine and you were like, these are literally the exact same numbers of Khalil Mack. Like across the board, height, weight, 40, like it was like a mirror image, and it was unfair to be like, oh, this guy's going to be like Khalil Mack, but that gave you a little bit more security in the idea that, okay, this guy's going to be scheme versatile. And I just, at this point, and I like Dallas, I had him number 6 overall, so I don't want to take anything away from him. I guess I am a little bit though, cause I just, the more I watch, I'm like, I think it's that Will Anderson comp. Cause it's the same defense. Like he's basically trying to be Will Anderson this year. And I don't know if he's quite to that level, which has me a little bit more apprehensive of locking him in at number 9 if he were on the board for the Bears.
Yeah. Good points there. And someone asked about Chop Robinson. I do like Chop Robinson a lot. And that's a guy that they put him inside. They'll put him outside, hand the dirt. So yeah, there's some options though at edge rusher, no doubt.
Do we all agree if they are really, if we want to dream it big, win next year, be a playoff team next year, they need one more dude that can get to the quarterback, regardless of how we just answer that question? Doesn't that feel right?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I think they get that if they also get a 3 technique. Yeah. And I personally am weighing 3 technique in this scheme higher than number 2 defensive end. If they didn't have Montez Sweat, I'd be like, no, they need that defensive end, but they already have that guy. So I honestly, right now, if it was between Dallas Turner or Byron Murphy from Texas, I think I'd take Byron Murphy.
That would be, I like that a lot.
We could continue to debate this one. I guess, well, overall, the answer though to what I'm saying is they need one more presence and you prefer in the interior. I'm not arguing it either. That's fine. On that defensive line to really be a threat to, you know, be a significant playoff team.
But again, remember, like, that doesn't have to be done in April. When did they acquire Montez Sweat? True. Trade deadline.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
They could get off to a hot start and be like, oh man, we're one guy away from on defense from this, and we have 2 second round picks now. You can make that trade again. I know you don't want to do that every year, but they will still have that draft capital to potentially do that if it comes down to that type of situation.
And plus, you know, on the low end, like the Yannick Ngakoue's of the world will look a lot better on this defense than they did last year. He can pick up more of the remnants, a guy like that, than they could at the start of last year.
Yeah. All right. D-Man Shy here, $10. I'm trying to understand why I think he's probably saying people. I'm trying to understand why people feel the need to draft a left tackle right now. Statistically, Braxton Jones had a better year than Darnell Wright, whom everyone praises, less sacks and a better pressure rate. I'm assuming fewer penalties too, because that was one of Darnell Wright's problems. Nick, you want to handle this?
Yeah, I would say too, like, stats aren't everything when you're kind of watching the play and where, you know, these offensive linemen are both going to, you know, end up going as they kind of progress here in the NFL. But I could just see if you want a staple stalwart piece at the left tackle position and think that, you know, Braxton Jones can be a nice depth piece. But I think, you know, Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham being former offensive linemen, anytime they're going to look at that position and think they can get a significant upgrade, you have to at least consider it.
It's $20 from our guy Craig Leach. Hello, CHGO. Hello, Mina. Thanks for joining us with your knowledge-based thoughts on Tyson Bagent's development and potential to start. I'll take this, Craig, that Mina's no longer with us. Look.
I'm pretty sure this was a joke.
I understand it was, but I'm going to answer it anyway like it's serious, because I think there is one, like, serious angle to this. Like, what – and we're way too premature. He hasn't even been drafted yet. But – are you going to start Caleb game one? And yes. If not, you probably are. But if not,
there's no, if not,
you think 100% he's starting week one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
No doubt.
All right. Fair enough. I if there's a world in which he needs a little bit more time as you go through the preseason, I would give it to him. I'm not saying he does. I'm not saying that is, but I wouldn't, you know, let's live in the reality, not in the hype.
What I will say to get you a little excited, Carm, when it comes to Bagent, I don't know where this is coming from all of a sudden, but all of a sudden there seems to be this, like, oh, they're going to have a rookie quarterback. They need a better veteran in there. And, like, I don't know where this is. Like, Tyson Bagent was great as a backup. He was exactly what you would want from a rookie. By the way, he was a rookie doing that. So why does Caleb Williams, like, if they felt like Nathan Peterman could play behind Tyson Bagent, why does Caleb Williams need somebody more experienced than Tyson Bagent? And they did sign Brett Rypien. I understand this. But unless I'm totally off base here, I look at this depth chart very clearly as Caleb Williams, Tyson Bagent, Brett Rypien is the third guy. He is the veteran presence. He is the guy that somewhat knows this system and can help bring along those younger guys. But I don't even think it's a question in my mind that they're comfortable with Tyson Bagent as the backup. If anything, I think he actually projects as a more similar type of backup to Caleb Williams in terms of how the offense would have to change if Caleb were to miss a game. I think that there's more of a similarity there in, obviously not talent, but style, that you can run the same stuff. Whereas obviously when Tyson Bagent came in for Justin Fields, you had to basically throw out the quarterback run stuff. I mean, he is mobile enough and he can run just like Caleb Williams, that I actually think it's a great situation to have.
Right. The third guy is your vet who helps both those young guys come along. If Tyson has to play, he's ready to play. He proved it last year. He should be better this year. He's putting out pictures. He's put up, I don't know, 20 pounds or whatever it is. And one more thing. The Bears had two veterans when Justin was here. Nick Foles and Justin Fields did not get along. That was not a good situation. So, you know, their quarterback room does need to be a good room, but it doesn't need to be necessarily a veteran backup for the two spot.
Crystal 499. Hey, Carmi V, glad to see you back here. Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Just sending love. Love CHGO. Crystal, hope the rest of your week went better than it started. And we always appreciate the love. Sending it right back at you. Cornelius Pryor 199. Will Dominique Robinson make the roster? There's a guy we haven't said on this show in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
put him on the bubble, man.
Yeah, he's been in healthy scratches in games last season. Hasn't shown a lot of development. He's definitely not a lock to make this roster in 2024.
Cornelius, good to see you. I haven't missed you a little bit here. Great to have you back today. And I'd bet against Dom Rob, unfortunately for Dom Rob, because Dom Rob's a good man. But I think they're going to look to upgrade that spot.
CJ Albus, 499. Thoughts on Leatu Latu?
He's awesome.
This is going to be a tough one. And we'll never be privy to the medicals for good reason. I mean, it's personal stuff. The teams get that though. All we can evaluate is the player. The player's great.
Mm-hmm.
Player's really good. The get off is awesome. When I'm watching USC, Caleb Williams against UCLA, it's like hard not to notice Latu, right? Like, he's a really good player, but I do not know how some team, and my guess is some teams are going to be okay with him. Others are going to be like, only to a point. If he falls at the second round because of the medicals, then we pick him. And then there's going to be other teams, I'll guarantee it right now, take him off the board completely.
I get that too. I get it because that was a significant injury. So, one team's going to get him. Hopefully it works out because he's got a lot of talent.
Which is not unlike, by the way, what happened when he medically retired because of his neck injury. He was at Washington, right? I think he started at Washington. Yeah, I believe that's right. And they were like, we can't clear you. So he medically retires. Well, there's a different school that said we can clear you. So it's going to be the same thing in the NFL. Like, some teams are going to be more tolerant of it, and others are going to be like, we can't risk this draft capital on it. Personally, I'm a little nervous about it. But that's partly because I'm not a doctor and I don't have the medicals and I don't have somebody to trust on this. But in terms of just the player, what I see on the film, if he was completely healthy, I'd be like, yeah, you could take him number 9 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Craig Leach, $20. What about the Green Bay goon slow walking close behind the set at the casino yesterday? None of you meatballs said anything or even noticed. I did not notice that until now, Craig.
Didn't he have a cane? I'm pretty sure he was slow walking because, I mean, like, he had a cane and stuff.
Well,
so we
saw him before the show. Braggs was looking for him to actually harass him. So I guess I'm kind of happy that we didn't notice when he walked by the show.
I walked by him after the show. He was fine. He was a lovely Green Bay goon, Craig. Next up is Zachary Peroni. $4.99. My brother was at a bar in Ann Arbor last night. Ran into Poles, Flus, Waldron, Roman Wilson, and Mike Sainstrel. Got picks with Waldron and Wilson. All right. I'm gonna trust that report, Zachary. Good job.
Way insider. Go, now, were they all together, or did they just happen to be in the same place?
Send that to CHGO Bears. Just DM us.
Yeah, that'd be. Please do. Seriously, move that along here, Zachary. We would really appreciate that. Or just hit up at the car. I'll pass it along. Mike Saint, $1.99. Mustard on hot dogs is disgusting. Mike, you're fired. MKE Saint.
Really, there's nothing more offensive you could actually say to me. So
yeah, that's we have to leave now.
Just waste of $2.
That's unfortunate. Nuku, $4.99. Good to see you, Nuku. By the way, I just banged the cup that has tea in it and did spill some on my computer. You guys, just... no problem.
So here's the worst thing that happened yesterday. It's a big fail by Braggs. Braggs actually brought a sippy cup to the show yesterday for Carm and forgot to get it out of his backpack, which part of the reason why it was such a big missed opportunity was because I don't know if you guys noticed, but Carm once again had an open cup with no top on it. And I was... There was a couple times in the show I was going to mention it, and then I think I just forgot. But I wish I had mentioned it because Braggs probably then would have remembered he brought the sippy cup. And we are going to make Carm from this point on drink out of a sippy cup during the show in studio.
I might buy myself a sippy cup. $4.99, Nuku. Happy Friday, boys. Can't wait to sit and watch tourney games all weekend. Great show as always. I am I might go back to Circa tonight for your Badgers, Hogue. Cash my check.
Ooh.
Maybe Ooh. Double down, put it on red, put a little winnings on red. Oh, now, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the roulette wheel. Let's just try to go for one.
Oh, I'm down for that.
Yeah, we know.
Let's
Nick.
Go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Nick's not right down the block anymore, but knows the way back. Is that it, Steven?
I think that was it.
All of them, yeah.
Great.
All right. We love it. Thank you so much for being here with us on a Friday. What a huge show with Mina Kimes. That was awesome. Carmi V jumping in, NFL royalty in the house, and then the rest of us. Adam Hogue, Nicholas Moriano, Mark Carmen. Thanks as always to Steven, Nicholas producing and all his hard work this week, including all the setup and teardown yesterday at Circa. It's been a week. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll just – brick by brick, right? We'll try to build on it next week with another big week. I feel like there was something actually. Oh, duh. Sunday night, I'm flying in the owners meetings. So we'll have coverage from there. Monday, Tuesday, Monday, we got the AFC coaches talking. We're also at Ryan Poles is expected to talk down there. Kevin Warren is expected to talk down there. At least they usually do. Matt Eberflus, George McCaskey, the whole crew will be going down over the course of Monday and Tuesday. So keep it locked in to CHGO Bears, both on Twitter at @CHGO_Bears, Instagram, CHGO_sports. We'll have coverage all up on social media as it happens. And then also on the show as well. Of course, I'll be dropping in on the show as the rest of the guys creepily show up like that from the studio. What a great show for Mark Carwin. What a great show. I
that was for the YouTube viewers, not you and Audio Land, but they put like half my face on, so I just put my hair on there and then moved around.
Graphics should have been bigger.
Cats won. have a great weekend. Thank you very much. I don't know what that was. I'm in a good mood. Love the show. Love you guys. Love Greg Braggs. Love CHGO. Love the Cubs. Love the Sox. Love the Bulls. Love the Bears. Love the Hawks. Love my family. Love Poppy the Puppy. It's all love today, buddy.
We'll talk to you, dude, on Monday. See ya.
We all silly like the mayor.